The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast with Eddie Scally and Robbie Dowling. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
It's the Kilkenny Hurling Podcast brought to you by KCLR. Each week, myself, Robbie Dowling and Eddie Scally chat about all the topics dominating Kilkenny Hurling and beyond. I am joined in studio by Eddie Scally. Eddie, how are you?
I'm great now, and yourself?
Yeah, really good, really good. The quietest weekend, I'd say, since the start of the year, for a very, very long time anyway. How did you treat it?
It was the quietest weekend, hurling-wise, for a long time.
Hurling is life, Eddie.
It is. It wouldn't be a quiet weekend for myself.
No.
Obviously, the Grand National at the weekend at Aintree, which was absolutely phenomenal. Well done to Paul and Willie and all the team there, and I.M. Maximus winning it. So that was exciting. Aintree's festival itself was very exciting. We had a full schedule of football championships, which were...
Yes.
Damn squibs, left, right and centre. A few... near shocks, I'd say, I suppose. Wicklow gave Kildare a fair rattle there, only beating a point. And Wexford, I think, put it up to Louth for long periods of the game. I think they'll be devastated that they kind of let it slip at the end. But, you know, green shoots in Wexford there, they're doing a good job there, John Hegarty. And other than that, then you the Masters in golf. And I have to say, the most exciting thing about the Masters in golf was wondering was Scotty Scheffler's wife going to go into labour and he was going to have to walk off the golf course. So she didn't, and he won. There's a load of golfers disappointed, I'd say, that she didn't go into labour.
We have a trend of starting now with different sports at the start, so I'll just ask about the Masters. One of the most boring in years, do you think?
Do you know what? Scotty Scheffler's dominance now.
Due to his greatness.
Yeah. The problem is, you can't say it's not competitive, but you just expected him to win. Like, I think, I was thinking about this driving in, like, and I was genuinely going to say the same thing. Like, I was never as... unexcited about a Masters as I was this year. Yeah, because it's just, you just wondered how much he was going to win by. And then the excitement that got twinged into it was when he done the interview and said his wife was heavily pregnant and was, I don't know if you knew that, but she was literally due to go into labour over the weekend, and best of luck to them both, it's their first child.
Course,
but he made no secret of it that should his wife go into labour, he was going to walk off the golf course, and he was going to be there with her. He said he's going to have lots of chances to win the Masters, but he's only going to have one chance to have a first baby. So I thought, there's loads of women all over the world now love Scotty Scheffler. His wife didn't go into labour. Hopefully she'll go into labour next couple of days, but he's the Masters champion and well deserved. He's the best golfer in the world at the moment.
Yeah, by a considerable distance. Right, on to the hurling, and because it was a quiet weekend, it means that there's a thunderstorm coming, I suppose, this weekend. The Leinster and Munster Championships get underway. We'll have two live games on KCLR on our Kilkenny frequency from 2:30. We'll be giving you full live commentary of Kilkenny versus Antrim. Our build up will be beginning at 2:00 with Aidan Fogarty and yourself, Eddie, looking ahead to that game. On our Carlo frequency at 2:00, Galway take on Carlo over in Pearse Stadium. Our build up starts at 1:30 here, so pick your match if you are not able to get to any of them this weekend. For the moment, we're going to look ahead to those matches with a particular focus, of course, as always, on Kilkenny. And we'll start with that match, I suppose, Eddie. It's certainly not the most mouth-watering tie of the weekend across both provinces, but still, obviously a very important game for both sides, and particularly for Kilkenny, because you want to get off to a good start, not just result-wise, but also performance-wise.
Yeah, no, look, it's an important start. I'd said to you when they got to the league final, I thought it was the perfect start to be playing Antrim in the first game. I couldn't see any way Antrim would beat Kilkenny, and I'd stand by that. So it does allow Derek the opportunity to A, rest a couple of players if they're carrying knocks, and B, to still experiment a little bit. But you're at the point now where you need to stop experimenting and start getting it right. However, it's back to the two Mikeys, Butler and Carey. How bad are their knocks? TJ, if his hamstring isn't perfect. So if they're at 90-95%, this is a game to let them sit in the stands and watch. So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out when Derek names his team. But then there's other players that are going to be making their championship debuts. I would imagine Shane Murphy is going to be making his championship debut. I would think. So this would be a very exciting week for him building up into this game. But will we see any other championship debuts? Will we see a Luke Hogan maybe, or a Jordan Malloy making their debut in the Senior Hurling Championship? So these are all the things we don't know leading into the weekend, and these are all the questions that will be answered, because if Derek is genuine about really giving these guys a rattle, he's going to need to start them against Antrim, because they're going to have to start building up ahead of steam, as in the players coming into the panel.
If we work under what could be described, and maybe fairly so, as a very arrogant precipice that Kilkenny are going to win this game, how important is it that they win it in very good fashion? Is it important that they're not kind of clunky and, you know, half messing around, and the game drags into kind of the 50th minute, 55th minute, and they eventually just crawl over the line.
See, there's two trains of thought there. You don't need to go and win by 25 points or 30 points, but you know, all the fans will be hoping to win by 25, 30 points, and then they'll be moaning that it's not competitive and it's a waste of time, you know. But what I would be kind of more inclined to be looking at if I was Derek, I'd be looking at some of the stuff that Kilkenny have been working on over the league campaign, things that they're trying to do. So let's take the obvious ones. The puck out, for example. The Kilkenny puck out has been misfiring a little bit during the league campaign. There were some days it was better than average, and then there was other days when it was below average. And I'm not blaming goalkeepers for that. It's down to trying new things, movement on the pitch and the whole lot. So that's an area I think that Derek will want to see a kind of high percentage of retention, and 80% plus maybe have retained their own puckouts, ready to go short or long. That'd be one big thing. Goal chances. Kilkenny have created a couple of goal chances. The Limerick game, Kilkenny created a world of goal chances. They're going to be facing a very different setup from Antrim. Antrim are going to sit very defensively. I'd be surprised if they don't have a sweeper in front of the goal, which might restrict the goal chances for Kilkenny a little bit. But what Kilkenny have to do is work that out and try and beat it, because this is a system. Like, call a spade a spade, Kilkenny have struggled to break down teams that go very defensive. Like, they've struggled so badly against Wexford over the last number of years with Wexford sweepers. It just hasn't worked for them. They've struggled against Waterford with the sweeper system. So that'll be something that Derek will be looking at the weekend. If Antrim sit deep, maybe drop a sweeper or two, how do we break it down? Do we still go for goals? Do you beat them from long range shooting? So that's another thing that they'll be targeting. And then the final thing that you're targeting is getting time into players' legs. Certain players, debutants, you want them to come in and you want them to stand up and show that they're ready for this level. And then at the same time, you need your marquee boys. You need Adrian Mullen, you know, out there wherever he plays, whether it's in the full forward line, the half forward line, midfield, wherever he plays. We need Adrian Mullen to be the catalyst that drives on this team. We need Owen Cody to be lethal at every opportunity. Every ball he gets, he takes on his man. He puts fear of God into the defences and he runs at them. So the scoreboard, what I would say is the scoreboard will look after itself. Kilkenny need to just go and win the match and try and have maybe five or six targets that they're going to achieve, so that when Derry comes in a full time, he can sit back with his backroom team and say, look, we achieved A, B, C and D, and you'll move on. Like, nothing is surer than after this game that the narrative will be that won't be good enough to beat Limerick. That'll be the narrative, because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. If you win by 25 points, what's everyone going to say?
Well, it's a pointless championship. Antrim, or pointless game.
Yeah, Antrim West Ham. And, you know, that's what you'll hear. If they win by 5 points, well, we're not going to win in All-Ireland if Antrim are running us that close. You know, so Kilkenny, they're on a hiding to nothing here at home in Nolan Park. So I think it'll be exciting. I really do. I think Kilkenny will blitz Antrim. I genuinely do. But the scoreboard isn't what I'd be worried about. I much prefer to see systems of play, how they're setting up, who's going to be our midfield pairing, who's going to be our midfield pairing for the year ahead, who's going to be full forward. If TJ's not playing, is it going to be Billy Drennan? Is it going to be Luke Hogan? You know, these are all exciting questions this early in the year. And I think, you know, we know the bigger fishes are coming afterwards. And I'd much prefer to be playing Antrim in the first game than Carlow. I think playing Carlow in the first game...
Yeah, I would agree, actually. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's a frightening prospect, because Carlow are going to come with absolutely no fear and light you out of it. Antrim, they've really been struggling. The truth of the matter is they have been struggling, Robbie.
Like, they've lost a lot of players.
They have, for whatever reason. And my God, what an awful start for Antrim to be going to play the All-Ireland beating All-Ireland finalists, beating league finalists, Kilkenny. And definitely on the back of a defeat as well. I can't remember the last time Kilkenny won, lost kind of back-to-back games.
That's a good point. I can't remember at all, actually.
It doesn't happen too often.
No, very, very rarely. I'm sure it was a league campaign at some point. But anyway... just in relation to this game, you mentioned everything that you'd like to see there from Kilkenny and all the different aspects that they need to work on. Ultimately, despite all of that, and they are probably the main points for Kilkenny this year, in this particular game, whether you do it well or don't do it well, is it very hard to judge, you know, your actual performance levels and whether you are learning anything at all?
Yeah, so you can be a little bit, because the problem is you're not going to face... I don't think you're going to face too many challenges like Antrim throughout the championship. Like, how many teams are going to take to the field against Kilkenny, trying to contain Kilkenny, trying not to lose by too much? That's what Antrim's target's going to be here. Let's lose by less than 10 points. That's not going to happen too often. As you get into the teeth of the championship, do you think Henry Shefflin's going to be in the Galway dressing room, sent to the Galway team?
No.
Let's keep this within 10 points today, lads. It's not going to happen. And Keith Rossler's not going to do it either. And Micheál Donoghue's not going to do it. Tom Mullally's not going to do it.
Do you think Dublin and Wexford could apply similar tactics, but just obviously with the intention of winning the game?
I definitely do. I think Wexford have done that every time they've played Kilkenny, and they'll be boosted by the fact that they've seen Kilkenny struggle against them. So Wexford will be coming with no fear. Keith Rossler's coming with a fresh approach to everything, but he'll still know he was there with Davy Fitz. He'll still know what worked against Kilkenny, and he'll be targeting that. You'd forgotten that Keith Rossler was there with Davy Fitz, did you?
No, I'm still trying to think of the last time Kilkenny lost two games in a row, to be honest with you.
Right, okay. So you'd have Keith Rossler will be there, and you know, he knows what it takes. He obviously knew what it took as a player as well. But I just think what you'll find is this is a different type of a challenge, and where people might get frustrated, it can be very frustrating when you play against the team. If Antrim went all out on Kilkenny will absolutely tear them open. So Antrim will try and, you know, limit the space around the field, try and make it tricky for them, make it difficult for them. But there's some good hurlers there as well. I mean, I don't want to be knocking Antrim too, like they'll push you to the pin of your collar if you let them as well, you know. So it's something to be pretty cautious about as well.
I suppose there's not much more we can talk about this game. Will Kilkenny win? Because we want to get on to all the championships. So.
Will Kilkenny win?
Oh, sorry, how much will Kilkenny win?
Yeah, they will. They'll win, and they'll win comfortably now. They'll win. Okay. It'll be double scores, like, so.
Yeah.
But no matter what happens, I can assure you, next week we'll be on the podcast talking about, no matter what happens, this isn't going to be good enough to win the All-Ireland. That's genuine. But okay. I tell you what, the Nolan Park, they won't be giving out the Lee McCarthy there either next Sunday, so don't panic.
That's very true. I think, and I might be wrong, 2018 lost Leinster final to Galway. If you remember that one, the replay was in Turles.
Yeah.
Then lost in Turles to Limerick in the All-Ireland quarter final.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
would that
yeah.
be right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Unless they lost in 19, because they lost the Leinster final to Wexford. But I can't remember the last round robin game before that.
No, they didn't get knocked out of the championship after that Wexford game, I don't think.
No, they went on to the All-Ireland final.
Yeah.
They didn't actually beat Limerick then in the semi-final, famously.
Yeah, no, I can't. I think it doesn't happen very, very often.
Very rarely.
You know, but for whatever reason anyway. But I suppose, how did they start off the Walsh Cup campaign this year? They probably lost that too, actually.
I never count those games myself. But anyway, if you want to, I think they lost to Wexford down in Callan.
No, but the point that I will be saying to you here is Antrim are coming to play Kilkenny as the gears start to be notched up a little bit more. Kilkenny will win this comfortably. Hopefully they'll have a very strong team out. I would genuinely hope that if TJ is not 100%, he's not played. And the one I'd be looking most forward to on Sunday is Owen Cody. Okay. I think this is going to be his year. I genuinely do. I think Owen Cody is going to, himself and Adrian, from the shoots I've seen from them in the league, the potential for fireworks with the two of these boys this year is going to be absolutely brilliant. And I hope Adrian's playing wing forward, and I hope Owen is in corner forward or full forward, and they just let the ball into him and just let him do his business.
Do you think, just on that, do you think for Kilkenny to have any chance of winning the All-Ireland, both of those players have to be playing close to their top level in the big games at the same time?
To win the All-Ireland, yeah. 100%. When Kilkenny face up to a Limerick or a Clare or a Galway, you can't have Owen Cody at 7 and Adrian Mullen at a 7. The boys need to be 9s and 10s, and TJ's the same. And to be honest with you, you can't have any player dropping the standard. You know, one player dropping the standard will cost you the game, and that's genuine. Like the old cliche of, you know, the chain is only strong as its weakest link. I don't think Kilkenny have that too many weak links around the field. If you actually go man for man with Kilkenny, as in the backs, I think Kilkenny's backs are as strong as the forwards they're going to be facing, even though you will be up against the fearful people like Aaron Gallan and stuff that would frighten you how good they can be, and that Clare forwards, we spoke with them last week, how dangerous they can be. But I think man for man, Kilkenny could get a 50-50, do you know what I mean, battle won between all other players, and at midfield, whoever the pairing is, I'd be fancying, you know, I think Keane will definitely be in midfield. I'd be surprised if he's not. I think he's been excellent there. Whoever his partner is going to be, possibly Jordan Malloy, the last couple of games, suggest it might be. I'd fancy them. So then, where do you win the game? Your forwards are going to have to win you the game, and that's where Kilkenny have been lacking. And we all know this. So it's not that the forwards that we have aren't great players. It's the forwards that we have haven't been putting enough scores on the board to win these games. So when it comes down to business end, so can you afford to have Adrian Mullen or Owen Cody not at 110%? No, yeah, you need these lads. They have to be 9s and 10s out of 10 in championship matches if Kilkenny are going to win the All-Ireland.
Okay, well, it all gets underway this Sunday, 2:30, full live commentary of Kilkenny versus Antrim from UPMC Nolan Park. Eddie will be chatting to A-time All-Ireland winner Aidan Fogarty from 2 o'clock and at halftime and after the game in our pre-match, halftime and post-match analysis. As I said, another game that we have live on Katie Lawrence on our Carlow frequency. Galway going up against Carlow, who are returning to the Leinster Championship for the first time in 5 years after last year's Joe McDonagh Cup victory. That is a 2 o'clock throw-in over in Pierce Stadium in Galway on our Carlow frequency, build up from 1:30. I just want to concentrate on this game, Eddie, because we're going to go on to Dublin Wexford too, which is arguably the biggest game of the Leinster Championship, or certainly one of them anyway. But you said you didn't want to face Carlow first. Is this a potential banana skin for Galway if they're a bit off it?
It is a potential banana skin. I didn't want to face Carlow first if I'm Kilkenny, because it's next door neighbours, yeah, and it's a massive rivalry and the whole lot. Galway won't have that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Galway won't have that. Like,
they're less emotional attached, I suppose.
There is less emotional attached. That's a fair way of putting it. But I think, for me, I think the problem you have is Carlow early in the championship are going to be like, Carlow will have targeted games, and they won't admit to this, like, but they'll have targeted the Dublin, the Wexford and the Antrim games as games that they need to win.
Yeah,
but the other games then they're looking at as Kilkenny and Galway, and I think in them games Tom can't do this now, but if this Galway match was say 3-0 and the following week you're playing Wexford, Tom could then afford to say, right, let's test out a few players in the panel here.
Yeah,
because you mark it down as a game that, you know, we're not, I don't mean this being disrespectful now, but I'm being straight.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you're thinking, look, that's not a game we're going to win. Pierce Stadium against Galway, let's try a few of the panel players here. Let's give Mouse rest, his hamstring's a bit tight, you know, because we're facing Dublin next weekend and we think we can beat these. So from that reason, I would say Carlow have great potential because they've got such good forwards. They've got forwards
to do, yeah,
that are fantastic. In Kevin McDonald at centre back, they've a wonderful centre back. I think he's absolutely brilliant. Tracy in the goal, his puck outs are absolutely unbelievable. And I mean this, is like he would put the ball in your pocket from 90 yards. Like, he's just superb. So they've lots of you know, good lads, the likes of Jack McCullough in the backs as well, breaking out, you know, big powerful players.
Yeah.
But they're coming up against a team I honestly believe will be in an All-Ireland final this year.
You fancy Galway this year, don't you?
I do, yeah. Like, I think Kilkenny are going to win the All-Ireland, but I think, yeah, they're going to be beating Galway in the All-Ireland final. I think the two best teams in the country, for me, the best team in the country right now is Limerick. Simple as. And the second best team in the country is Clare, because they're the league champions. And, yeah, you know, but Kilkenny were beaten in the All-Ireland final. So, you know, Championship hurling, you'd say Kilkenny are in second. But I just have a sneaky suspicion that Galway and Kilkenny are best placed to topple Limerick this year, and I really hope that does happen, and I'd be delighted to see a Galway Kilkenny final. So I think this is going to be a step too far for the Carlow team. First year up, coming up after winning a Joe Mack, facing a team that have been in the last two All-Ireland semi-finals, beaten by, yeah, Limerick in both days, running them right to the wire. Like, this is a serious Galway hurling team. And then,
do you think so?
Yeah, and they're after being lifted as well by that Club All-Ireland title as well.
Yeah, of course.
There's a lot of players involved there. No, it is. There's a lot of Galway players there when you look down through their team, that would make pretty much every team in the country as well. Like, they have the likes of Fintan Burke. Like, he's just absolutely brilliant. I think Conor Cooney, you know, he's a proper hurler as well. Evan Nyland on his day can be absolutely brilliant. Dottie Burke. Like, you know, when you start ringing through the names of that Galway Ireland team, like, it would make the hair stand up in the back of your neck. They're, you know, they're a savage team. So I think Carlow will be really up against it going to Pierce Stadium. And I think the pressure's on Henry this year.
I think there's huge pressure on him.
You know, and when I say the pressure's on, it's not life or death.
No,
it doesn't,
no,
you know,
of course,
but
not.
From his perspective, he's a really ambitious person. He's been very, very successful in everything he's done, in life in general. He's an achiever, and he's going to want to achieve something with Galway. They were absolutely robbed last year in the Leinster final. Now, a few people shoot me for this one.
Robbed?
Kilkenny deserved to win the game, yeah, over the course of the game. It was just a last minute goal to win it.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a Dick Turpin, you know what I mean? When you get a goal at the last poke of the game to win by a point, that's a little bit of a robbery, like.
But I think so.
When you score a goal in the last minute of a game to go through.
I don't agree.
See, this
I don't think when you were in the semi-final, I know we referenced your Blacks and Whites team a lot, but I don't think he robbed Piltown that day when he got two late goals.
I do know that I really fell for them. I do know that of all the teams we beat in the championship the whole year, Piltown was the one team that I went back to every time in my mind and said they were really, really unlucky that day.
Yeah, but you don't play for...
No, I know that.
Well,
it was 7 minutes of injury time in our game. But,
yeah.
I was delighted with the injury time. but no, I think in fairness to Galway, and that's why I'm saying to you, on the balance of play, Kilkenny deserved to win that Leinster final because Kilkenny threw away a good lead in that game.
Yeah.
So that happened in that middle third of the game or whatever. But irrespective, I don't think Galway are too far away. Henry will know that. They've won a Club All-Ireland with their own club down there. You know, albeit a really disappointing for a lot of games.
There's arguably a robbery.
So you know that's definitely it is. But I just think this is a pretty strong Galway team, and I think Tom is going to be really up against it going up there now.
Okay, so Kilkenny are going to win this weekend. Obviously, you think Galway are going to win. I think most people do, but probably a little bit tighter than Kilkenny Antrim, or do you think it'll be similar?
No. The Galway Carlow game will be closer than Kilkenny and Antrim. I think there's a gulf in class between Kilkenny and Antrim at the moment, and that's down to the Antrim setup at the moment. There seems to be an exodus of players got out of
because Antrim have put it up to Kilkenny in recent years, but it's just not expected.
I think if it was
year.
Up in Corrigan Park, you know, you'd be a little bit tighter. Yeah, like it's just coming down here to Nolan Park where the lads will, they'll love playing there as well. I just think Carlow are going to be up for it this year. You know, I've seen that Carlow team three or four times in the league, and I just thought each time I've seen them it's gotten a bit better. That game against Laois the other day just wasn't what you expect from Carlow. Now I don't know, I heard a little rumour the other day that they played a behind closed doors friendly. Did you hear that?
I did.
And I heard they absolutely obliterated them.
I also heard that, yes.
You know,
without a couple of big name players.
Yeah, so they went to war. So they're obviously in a good place. Tom will know this. And they'll want to get a win on the board as quick as they can. That win won't be in Pear Stadium in Galway.
No.
But let's give them a rattle, and hopefully the Carlow lads will be getting a lift out of keeping it below 10 points, and I think that'll be an achievement.
Okay, that's Carlow Galway. As I said, I always think actually everybody looks at the Kilkenny and Galway game in Leinster each year in the round robin, but I always think the biggest game, or certainly over the last number of years, is Dublin and Wexford. It's so decisive in terms of how good a season both counties have and whether they're going to progress outside of Leinster. It actually takes place this Sunday. I think it's a 2 o'clock throw-in for that one as well, and it's in Chadwick's Wexford Park this year. This is a huge game for Micheál Donoghue. It's a huge game for Keith Rossiter, his first game in the Leinster Championship, again arguably his biggest in his first year in charge. I mean, whatever way you see it going, do you see it being more than a one score game, Eddie?
I don't know. This is being honest with you, because you off all league form tells you that Dublin are going to get beaten by Wexford.
Yes.
But this is championship now. This is different. This is a massive game in the sense that I think this game is going to determine who's playing in a quarter final this year. You know, it could be that, and they'll know this as well. Like they'll notice that this is the third place game, that in their minds they'll believe that they're both in their best place to finish third. So whoever loses this game is on the back foot straight away. So this is a real massive humdinger of a championship game. I think if Dublin were more competitive in the league, I'd have a bit more faith in them, in the sense that if they were running teams close and were losing by a point or 2 points, but they haven't been doing that. They've struggled in the league. They've struggled badly. So I don't know, where is that going to leave Dublin? Do you know what I mean? Where are they? So heading to Wexford Park at the weekend, the other problem for Wexford is injuries. They seem to have an absolute ton of injuries. And I'm not like, I'm on about really, really big key players. Like, is Lee Chin going to be playing? If like the Wexford team without Lee Chin is 20% worse, it'd be like Kilkenny without TJ. That's how important he is to that team there. Conor McDonald in the full forward line, he's been in and out all year as well. I don't know, is he going to be playing at the weekend? And they do need him. They can't afford it. The O'Connors, they need them all, and they'll need them all in this game. But Micheál Donoghue's, He's a crafty lad. He'll be targeting this, so important to hit it. I think Wexford will win, but how comfortable it'll be, I just don't know. If I was a staunch Wexford man and a big Wexford fan, I would be terrified about this game.
I think the last 2 years, we go off the top of the head here because my research on it is absolutely cack. But I think the last 2 years, Dublin defeated Wexford in their round robin. Croke Park last year, and they definitely defeated them 2 years ago, if you remember, by a point in Wexford Park.
Yeah.
Do you think they could maybe have their number in the Leinster Championship?
It feels like that. But I mean, this Dublin team has been on a backward trajectory. They've been going backwards, in my opinion. So the Dublin team 3 years ago versus the Dublin team today, there's a big difference. 2 years ago, they got beaten. Wexford missed a penalty, I think, that day as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Wexford
Park. I tell you where I was watching that game. I was out in Albufeira in Portugal, and I was watching.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it was lovely. I was watching the game on the telly in there, and I backed Mac to score the first goal, and I think he missed the first penalty or something like that. Anyway, I'll tell you what, he missed an absolute glorious chance at the back post. Ball was cut across to him and he put it wide. So I remember being a little bit annoyed.
Yes.
But then they got beaten in the end, and I was really disappointed at that stage. But you could be right. You know, sometimes you have a team that become a bit of a banana skin. But is that like saying that Wexford are Kilkenny's measure? I don't think
I think they do to an extent. I don't think Wexford are certs to beat Kilkenny in the same way I don't think Dublin are certs to beat Wexford. But I'm just saying that there can be that. It can be strange, like mental blocks and stuff. I'd say you've had it as a manager against certain teams for some strange reasons.
Yeah, no, sometimes you just come up against an opposition and they just have an edge on you and whatever. But yeah, you have to get that out of your mind straight away. Because the problem is, I remember a manager when we were playing years ago, and we used to always concede early at the start of the second half. But at half time, he used to always spend like 3 minutes to say, you know, keep it tight for the first 5 minutes, second half. Don't concede. And it was in everybody's heads going out then. So we were all nervous wrecks. And within about 10 seconds, you'd have conceded again. And I remember the worst shout ever from a manager of all time. Imagine, I still remember the sixth class in national school.
Okay.
Playing in the school's county final. And the manager in the dressing room, he gave us a buoyant team talk. He had us reared up, We were going to be the biggest 12-year-olds on that pitch in Cusick Park. And he said, just before we left the dressing room, he said, always remember the team that gets the first score generally win these games. So let's go out and get the first score. Should we concede at first? And sure, after that, I remember I was playing left half back, and I remember turning around to centre back and saying, well, that's that kind of anyway, 28 seconds into a county final. Words matter.
Yes.
So I think it's how you approach these things. So I'd be very, very surprised if Keith Rossiter has referenced any of the previous performances against Dublin leading into this game. I think his focus would be on where Wexford are, where we've come from. Last year was such a tough year on Wexford. Things didn't go right. This year, they're in a different headspace. They're pushing on. And I think that's where he'd be pushing. He'd be looking at the positives. That's the narrative that he'd be trying to sell to his players. They won't be looking backwards. We can, as pundits, discuss it and say it. But I actually think this Dublin team, unless Micheál Donoghue pulls a real rabbit out of the hat at the weekend, I think this Dublin team, like I've said to you before about Waterford, I think they're in trouble.
Right, okay. So you're going for Kilkenny, you're going for Galway, and you're going for a very small Wexford victory?
Yeah, I think Wexford will win. I think they could win 4 or 5 points. I'd be very, very disappointed if Wexford don't win, but I do think they'll win 4 or 5 points.
Okay.
So I would have handicap wise Kilkenny -10, Galway -10, and Galway Wexford -5. I think I'd have no fair with them three.
I'll go with Kilkenny, Galway, and I'll go with Dublin. Just to be different, to call back to the county championship days when I used to just be different for the sake of being different. And just generally then, to have a look at the Leinster Championship before we go into Munster this weekend and a general overview of Munster. Who do you see coming out of it? Obviously, with Wexford were to beat Dublin, it would put them in the ascendancy in terms of making that top three. Do you think that will be the top three, Galway, Kilkenny and Wexford? And if so, in what order?
Yeah, it'll be Galway, Kilkenny, Wexford, top three. It'll be Galway or Kilkenny to come first in that. Wexford will be third. I just don't know. I've said it all along that I'd love for Kilkenny to be playing Limerick in a
semi-final.
Yeah, and I haven't changed my mind on that now. So if Derek's listening, if Clare beat Limerick at the weekend, they'll have to win Leinster. And if Clare lose to Limerick at the weekend, he can throw the game against Galway. But I'm sure that
not
won't
necessarily,
be.
Of course. You could lose a game and still make a Leinster.
But this is it, you can't pick. Look, Kilkenny, you're going to have to go out and win every match. That's the way it's going to be. You'll end up where you end up. I think Galway are going to win Leinster this year. I think Kilkenny will be beating Leinster final. And I think it's going to be Galway, Kilkenny, Wexford.
So Galway are going to play Kilkenny three times. Are Galway going to beat them twice and not win the All-Ireland? Or are Kilkenny going to beat them twice and win the All-Ireland?
I think Galway Galway could lose to Kilkenny in the group stages.
It's all too,
in the round robin. Yeah, oh, I think they could. I think Galway will be peaking at the Leinster final stage, semi finals. I think that's when you'll have it. And I think Kilkenny will have their measure in an All Ireland final. That's I know it's a really weird way of putting it.
Yes, well, that makes sense.
At the other end of the table, where it's going to be interesting, I think Carlow will be beating Antrim or Dublin. I think Carlow will be okay.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think Antrim are in trouble. That's where I'd see it now, and that could be heart rule and head hair now, but I think Antrim might be in trouble. I think Carlow will be fine.
And do you think, look, Antrim, I don't like anybody going down, if I'm being honest, which I don't know what it does for the sport in those respective counties to constantly be yo-yoing. You would know better than anyone as a Westmeath man who's done such great work, but to go down last year would have been devastating, particularly off the back of the Wexford win, I suppose, to not be allowed to build on that. Is that fair?
No. I think
no?
It's not. No, you're right. It's not fair.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I think, and I've said this before, I think when you have, like, you've Laois, Offaly and Westmeath all playing in the Joe Mack this year, I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be in here in the Leinster Hurling Championship. But I see no reason why Kerry shouldn't be down playing in the Munster Hurling Championship. You know, there's five teams in Munster. It's an odd number. Like, give them the sixth team. What harm does it mean if Kerry get beaten in the Munster Championship? Why can't they play the Joe Mack after the Provincial Championships? Do you know what I mean? As a separate competition.
Okay.
Let them run it through and let them play in it. I just think, for me, if you're trying to promote the game, someone said it to me the other day, hurling's dropped out of the top 10 sports in Irish sport.
Oh yeah, I think that was a few years ago.
You know, so Shane said it yesterday.
The RSI report.
Yeah,
or something
like what are we doing? How are we helping the sport by telling teams that you can't play in the main championship, you can play in the second championship? And for me, I think especially for a team like Carlow coming up, this is their first year at this level for a while. There should be no relegations. And see, the problem is you can't give Carlo a sabbatical and say, right, you've 2 years now, so you can't get relegated. So we relegate the team that finishes ahead of you. So I just think that there should be a minimum of 8 teams playing in Leinster right now. And maybe at the end of a Leinster Championship, the teams that have finished bottom numerically with points and whatever, whoever's the bottom team, they then play the team that finished topped on the other side and bring it back up to an 8 team championship team, if you know what I mean. So you've got Westmeath, Laois and Offaly all competing to try and get into that bottom tier. And I'm not being unfair on Kildare or Meath. I just think that's the next three, if you get me. So just say, for argument's sake, Antrim finished last in the round robin this year. I think Antrim should be playing a playoff against the team that finishes out of, say, if Westmeath and Laois were in that championship, the team that's not whoever finishes the highest on the other side, they get to play them. There's no wrong and right way of doing things, but I think, for me anyway, the best way of doing it would be have as many teams playing at this level as they could. I just think, for, like, you see Westmeath this year, they gave Limerick a right scare. You know, like, they know Galway got the run on them and beat them well, but Tipperary as well, they ran Tipperary tight as well. So surely you'll improve your own standards by facing up to that every week. That's the way I'd see it anyway. I think if I was looking for friendlies for any team I'm involved in, I always try and play above me. And it's sometimes hard to get a friendly when you ring a club and you say, we're a junior team in Kilkenny and we're looking to play your senior team from Limerick. They're like, are you cracked? And well, we'll get a ton of overgym, we can get a lot over, but we will. With Blacks and Whites, we played out at the Ballack in 3 or 4 friendlies. Like, that's like a team in Wexford in the intermediate junior grade ringing Ballyhale Shamrocks and looking for a friendly. But we did. We went down, and do you know what? We got pummeled in Owlert. But they came up and played us again a couple of months later. They played us in Tom Walsh Park, and they beat us well again. But we got closer.
But you got what you wanted.
We played Oigan in a friendly, you know, another year. Oigan beaten in a senior county final this year in Wexford. But again, the lads, we got what we wanted out of it, and they got what they wanted out of it. But play at the highest possible level, and you'll raise your own standards. That's the way I see it.
Couldn't agree more with that. Friendly or a challenge?
They're friendlies. It's not rugby.
Oof. A challenge, though. Challenge match.
No. You sound
like I'm not calling it a test match now.
You're nearly there.
I'm not a cricket or
friendly.
Rugby.
We're playing against, unless there's something on the line, it's a friendly. That's my opinion. I'd call it a friendly. You're playing a friendly or a challenge. Challenge. You're playing on words there now, but I think you're getting dangerously close to test match. You know, we played Olga during the Calcutta Cup.
You know.
The beautiful boy.
Did you give the lads a little cap after?
Oh, yeah, no, after the game, we did the presentations. Cap. Yeah, and then the opposition team came in and we clapped them off the field, and they went in and we presented them with their cup. And no, it's a friendly, but they're educational games. You learn a lot from it. But as I said to you already, I just think Laois, Offaly and Westmeath would be progressing way faster if they were playing in this championship.
I completely agree. So Leinster this year for you, Eddie. Kilkenny, Galway win Leinster. Wexford finished third, Dublin fourth, Carlow fifth, Antrim sixth.
Yep.
Okay, that's Leinster. Munster Championship also gets underway this weekend. Clare going up against Limerick at 2 o'clock in Cusick Park down in Ennis. At 4 o'clock, it's Waterford versus Cork, which, while everybody is looking at this Clare and Limerick game, Waterford and Cork could be an absolutely massive affair as well in terms of that third spot, or maybe even the top two for both sides. We will start, though, chronologically, as we tend to do here. Clare and Limerick, as I said, it's the one that catches the eye this weekend. There's no getting away from that. I would ask if you're looking forward to it, but you won't be watching it because you'll have your eyes on Kilkenny and Antrim. But nevertheless, this is a brilliant game for the neutral.
It is. You know, you've the All-Ireland champions coming up against this year's league champions. You've, you know, Brian Lowen, who's, you know, lifted now by his first bit of silverware there, taking on John Kiely, who's going to be a wounded beast after the beating they got against Kilkenny. I'm going to touch on another yoke as well on this one. Limerick went on a team training camp straight after they got beaten by Kilkenny. They went off. How did they have a book so quick and everything organised and the whole lot to head off for a week?
They already had a book before the Kilkenny match. That was the whole thing about the conspiracy theories around did they throw the game.
But what about the Waterford team that did that in Nolan Park a few years ago as well? They went on holidays.
There was a conspiracy theory that time, wasn't there?
Yeah, but like, were they going to go on their week's training camp and then come back and play in the league final? Was that, would that have been a possibility?
Yes.
It was.
Yeah,
so they were going to be gone. Yeah, no, well, no, I'm just wondering. But they went off on a week's training camp. So it'll be interesting to see how they found that out. I tell you what, timing of that week's training camp, don't mind your conspiracy theories because they're all a load of shite, but I will tell you, the timing of that, like, you take Carlo got beaten heavily by Wexford in the football a couple of weeks ago, and myself and Willie Quinlan were chatting about it, and I said it to Willie, I said, you know, I'd just love to play in a match tomorrow. Like, straight after that, you just get back out on the field as quick as you can. And, like, the Carlo players got a week off and the whole lot, and they left the stew now, you know. So, like, they'll go back to training tomorrow night and they'll have had a week and a bit stewing on that result and sick to their stomachs.
It is.
Whereas that Limerick team got on an aeroplane, headed off to Barbados or wherever they went. I don't know. I think they went to Portugal. But they went there, and what would have happened then straight away was they would have went in, they would have had a couple of drinks on the night they arrived and relaxed. The next morning they would have got up, screens would have went up, and they would have been shown the scoreline of the league semi-final, and the training camp would have started, and it would have started as, we're no longer the All-Ireland champions, we're the team that got hammered by Kilkenny in the league semi-final. And it's so much easier to drill home a message about standards and being standard bearers and how much more you have to work, how much harder you're going to have to work this year to win it. So I actually think the timing of that trip on the basis of the defeat is phenomenal, and I think Clare are going to feel the effects of that. I think that Limerick team are going to have trained like a professional outfit, probably do all the time anyway. But they're I said it to you, I didn't think Clare should go all in against Kilkenny. They did. They're not robots. I think this Clare team, I think it'll be a cracking game, but I think it could be an awful start to Clare in the first round losing at home. I think it could put them on the back foot. Yeah.
Do you not think 2 weeks is enough to go hell for leather, then come back out and just go again?
No, it is. Like, it is enough. But the problem is, it's just the mental side of things. I don't know what happened in Clare. Like, and this is the point I made to you. They won the league final. Surely they were allowed to go out and have a few drinks.
On the Sunday, let's say.
So they did. So that rules out Monday. So then you're in doing a recovery session on Tuesday. So that rules out Tuesday. They're probably in the gym on Wednesday and they're back in the field on Thursday. So now they've had one training session. And then they might get maybe one more in, that's two, and then the week of the championship they can't go heavy in training, they have to tailor it for that. So maybe two tough training sessions is all they've had between a league final and the first round where they're facing the All-Ireland champions. I don't think it is enough to have you 100%. And I said this to you already, they got lucky, Robbie. They didn't pick up any knocks against Kilkenny. They didn't have any, like, get his jaw broke or his shoulder broke. It was no one stretchered off for him. And I'm always wary of that. I know it's in the back of your mind, but if you have a fella carrying a knock, you don't play him, you leave him where he is, you know. So it's something I would look at. I just be concerned how much did they, we'll find out, we'll know after the match if they come up flat, and there's that bounce effect as well coming back off a big win. Which would have been a big win for them, beating Kilkenny in a league final. Is there going to be a bounce? But I think the bounce is going to be on the other side. I think Limerick could give us all a rattle this weekend. I think we could be all terrified after it.
Do you think Limerick are just looking at this as a statement victory match for them?
Yeah,
pure and simple.
I think so. I think the players themselves are going to want to put down a marker. I think they're going to want to put in a marker for the management team. It's the hope that kills everybody else. Limerick go out and win this game comfortably, and then people are standing back looking, going, Jesus,
yeah,
you know, where are we going here at all? And I think that was what the Kilkenny team did when they were at their brilliant best back in the day. I think it's what the Dublin senior football team done when they were flying. They just went down and absolutely blitzed teams. Yeah. And I think Limerick are going to. And the other thing as well is, Clare have really put it up to Limerick over the last few years. Like, Limerick are going to want to tell these Clare lads to, good luck,
yeah,
you're not sticking around with us anymore, we're putting down our marker, because it is Clare that's always really giving them the fright.
No question.
So I think Kylie will have them all riled up for that and saying, you know, these Clare lads think they're us, they think they're on a par with us, they're not on a par with us, we're above everyone. And I think it could be a cracking game, but I can see nothing but a Limerick win here.
Do you think, you know, we were talking about when's the last time Kilkenny lost two in a row? Lord Almighty above only knows the last time Limerick, when the last time it was that Limerick lost two in a row, probably 2017 at this point. Do you think if they were to lose this game, if Clare were to come out on top again, we're looking at a Limerick team that are big time on the back foot?
Yeah, well, they definitely are, because, like, I know I said it, I didn't say it in jest either, what I said, and you've pulled me on this a couple of times about the Munster Championship not being competitive.
Yeah, yeah.
I said that the outcome of the Munster Championship for me isn't as I think it's
predictable.
I think it is a little bit, okay. Yeah, and people kind of knock it. But the one thing I will say about Munster is what is unpredictable is teams can take points off each other and teams can beat each other. So if Limerick were to be beaten by Clare in their first match, their next match, I think, is against. But just say, friends.
Oh, you're killing me, yeah.
Yeah, but I tell you, Waterford are playing Cork the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm nearly 100% that Cork's next game is after that. Cork's last game is in Tip. Or something like that, anyway.
Yeah,
but whatever.
I think you're right, yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Irrespective, if just say Limerick were to lose to Clare, and their next game, then just say, friends, is Tip, and they go there and they get beaten. Now, they're not worrying about winning Munster. Now they're worrying about being gone out of the Championship.
They were last year, weren't they?
Yeah,
about
they were very close to it, like, you know. So that's what happens when you lose your first game. But I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that Clare could lose the first game, could be in serious trouble. Like, whoever loses your first game, you're on the back foot straight away. Like.
Massively, yeah.
And that's regardless of who you are. That's regardless of whether you're Limerick or Galway or Kilkenny or Clare. It doesn't matter who you are. You lose your first game in a format like this one here, you're in big trouble. Especially, pardon me, there's only five teams. So two go through to the Munster final and the third one goes into the quarters. The other two were gone. So there's two of these going to be gone. You know, so it's take your pick. And then just remember as well, and this is where the unpredictability of the Munster Championship comes in and where people love it. Somebody like Waterford could lose three matches in a row and then go and beat you. You know, and
yeah, well, they have done, I think they did
it last year.
And they did it in Derek McGrath last year, 2018,
yeah,
I think.
So you could have that there. Like, I mean, you know, the year of the ghost goal as well. Like, I mean, they were robbed
that
year.
That's what happened that year. Yeah. They won their last game.
So it's, you know, it can be right down to the melting pot at the very last game. There can be still something to play for. But what you want to do is start strong, and they'll want to win that game.
Yeah.
They'll need to win the game as well. It's not they'll want it. They'll need to. No one wants to lose. But Clare need it more. Clare at home in the first game of this championship, like Clare will need to win, I think, more than Limerick. But either way, I just don't know. I have a funny feeling Limerick are going to be putting down a marker for everybody.
Okay, so just to let people know, because you kind of asked it there, Eddie. First round is Clare and Limerick, Waterford and Cork. Second round is Cork and Clare, Limerick and Tipperary. Third round is Waterford, Tipperary, Cork and Limerick. Fourth round is Clare and Waterford, Tipperary and Cork. And then the last round, on the last weekend of May, actually, is Limerick and Waterford, Tipperary and Clare. So they're all the fixtures, to provide a little bit of context. Just lastly on this game, then, Limerick are going to win this match, according to you, by a significant scoreline.
I don't think anyone will win in Ennis by a significant scoreline, but I think the 6 or 7 points is what I'd be marking them to win this game by, which some people will think is significant. I don't think 6 or 7 points.
I would say
points.
That's a bit of a marker, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. But it is when you're putting it down. But I think Limerick will win by 6 or 7 points. You know, you don't. You think Clare will win?
Do I
have a funny feeling you're going to come out with some type of a balloon of a statement like that now in a second. No, I think they'll win by 6 or 7 points.
I think Clare will win. I think this goes back to...
You just did say that 10 seconds ago. Like.
I think this goes back to the Dublin-Wexford, even Kilkenny-Galway sort of thing. I think Clare just have that little thing over Limerick in arguably very unimportant games, or not very unimportant, but certainly the games that aren't as important as Munster finals or All-Ireland semi-finals or finals. But I think in the round robin, they just seem to have this thing where they can get over the line against Limerick. I think they'll do it again. But obviously you think it'll be Limerick, so...
Yeah, well, I won't say 100%, but I think Limerick will win by 6-7 points. Yeah, I'm fairly confident.
I'll go for a 1-point win for Clare like it was last year. We'll only know this time next week, as we will with Waterford and Cork. This is a huge game, I think. 4 o'clock in Walsh Park. The Waterford chairman has come out and stated that Cork are going to have more supporters at this game, which is chronic and goes back to our conversations about the Waterford fan base, or maybe the lack of fan base at the moment. That obviously would be a bit of a disadvantage, or arguably a huge disadvantage for Waterford. Do you think that sways it big time in Cork's favour, if it wasn't already?
That won't sway it big time in Cork's favour. What that happened there, Robbie, is what you call propaganda. So that man came out to try and rally the troops. That's what's after happening there. I'm sure Derek McGrath wouldn't have said it. Derek is quite the wordsmith now, having met him on many occasions.
Chatted to him at the weekend.
Yeah, so Derek wouldn't have said it as blatantly as I'm saying it, but what he did do there was he had said ticket sales are pretty crap here. Cork have a huge supporter club, so they're all entitled to their tickets, so they're going to come. So that's going to make it 3-1 in favour of Cork. But ultimately, he then announces we're going to be outnumbered here, boy. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, if you either love your county or you don't. And then all the Waterford people are like, I love me county, and they're all rooting in their bags for the Yop jerseys and the whole lot. So they'll be out in force. So no, Cork will not outnumber Waterford.
Do you not think so?
Not a hope. No way.
Cork are great supporters.
They are great supporters, but Waterford are playing at home, so they won't outnumber them. You know, Northampton have great support as well in the rugby. They're not going to outnumber Leinster in Crow Park. They're not going to fill it either, actually, just as a point of note. Just 85,000, they might be selling the tickets at a fiver a ticket. But Waterford, I think this is such an important game.
Oh, yeah.
Cork see themselves, like, you know this because you'll be down in Cork a bit. Like, Cork see themselves as real contenders to win the All-Ireland every year. I never see them as real contenders, but they do. And they'll be kind of saying this could be our year. You know, we're coming in under the radar here. Yeah. So, you know, again, they're coming in under the radar for many years now. So they're coming in under the radar. And then on the other side of the coin is Waterford, who had a shocking league campaign, but yet only lost by a score in every game, which would suggest that they're extremely competitive. Had their excuses too, in fairness. I seen the day with Clare with the free taking, or lack of free takers, because I think Bennett went off injured and there was everybody had a crack at it, taking frees there. Yeah. It was just a real messy affair. Assuming Davey has a full hand to play with, I don't know if he has, but assuming he has a full hand to play with at home, this could be a big chance for Waterford, because if you're looking at the championship and you're being honest, like, Davy's no Egypt, but they're not going to beat Limerick in the championship, in my opinion, and they're not going to beat Clare. As tight as it will be and as exciting it will be against Clare, they're not going to beat them. So they have to beat Cork and Tippett, or gone. And they're playing Cork at home in the first round of the championship, so they have to win this game.
They're playing Tippett home in their second match.
Yeah, and they have to win them. If they win them games, they're in third place. And I'm telling you now, Waterford finishing third will be one of Davy Fitz's greatest ever achievements, if he can do that.
Really?
Well, it won't be up there winning the All-Ireland achievement, but it'll be right up there with winning Leinster with Wexford. I mean that. Yeah, I think so. I think because Limerick and Clare have pulled so far away from the pack, and where it is I don't think it'll happen either. I think Waterford will be gone out of the championship.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying, if he can get them into third place, it'll be remarkable. But Cork have to deliver as well. I mean, like, they're probably getting sick of underachieving in both codes, so they really, really need a response this year. And I think, in fairness, their manager's a good guy as well, like, and he seems to be getting a bit of a tune out of them. You know, like, they were probably a bit unlucky against Kilkenny down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, but the performance they put in against Wexford, like, they gave Wexford some beating. Now, albeit nobody had anything to play for at that stage, from my memory, I don't think they had anything to play for. I don't think Cork had anything to play for. I think they were already...
I think both sides could have made the semi-final if Kilkenny didn't beat Waterford that day, or something along those lines.
All right. Okay, no, in my head, I remember thinking that it was going to be either Kilkenny or Wexford in it, but sure, obviously, if the ball had been lost, maybe they would have slipped in. But in my own head, I thought it was Kilkenny and Wexford, the only two could make it through. I'm not sure. Either way, Cork absolutely blitzed Wexford. Oh. It was the one day that Wexford took a proper pasting.
The only day.
Yeah.
So lose another game.
No, well, that's it. So I think, on the basis of that, I think Cork will be coming with their tails up. I think Waterford will be coming with their... Davy can speculate and bring it up all he wants and say about the passion and we'll be ready for championship and the whole lot. We'll know on Sunday already there for championship. I think Cork will blitz them.
Okay, so you're going for a Cork win and a Limerick victory this weekend. That's this weekend's previews. Just generally with the Munster Championship, how do you see it going this year, Eddie? Limerick and Clare, top two, and then the rest, or something a bit different?
Yeah, I think Limerick will win. I think Limerick will come first. I think Clare will come second. And I think Cork will come third. And I think Waterford and Tip will be gone.
We haven't touched on Tip. How bad are Tip, or how good are Tip?
I don't know. I actually don't know. They're better than people give them credit for now. They were in a tough league section. Like, there's no point in saying they weren't. And they got out of that. I'm tipping Galway to get to an All Ireland final, and then I'm not tipping Tip to get out of Munster, and they were beaten in the league semi final. Fair is fair. I think if Tip hadn't have been so poor against Clare in the league semi final. You know what I mean? If Tip had went out that day and had been better and had won that game, well, then you're saying, geez, Tip are flying, you know? But no one's saying anything about Limerick. Like, there's no one panicking over Limerick having a bad semi-final. Like, so Tip had a bad day. So I'm probably being a bit unfair on Tip and saying that I think Tip and Cork is going to be, I think it's going to be touch and go out which the two of them finishes third. For me. But I just think for me anyway at the moment, it's Limerick and Clare, and then, as you said, and then the rest. And which of the rest, for me, it'd be Tip and Cork will be only a puck of the ball between them, and Waterford are a little bit behind that. But the whole championship could be blown open at the weekend if Waterford beat Cork. I think the excitement will be really good then. If Waterford beat Cork and Walsh Park, to me, it's a must-win game for Waterford. And if they can win that game, well, then you're going to have a firework campaign here now. It'll be brilliant.
And then the Waterford, I wouldn't call it a juggernaut, but the Waterford bandwagon will be in full force at that point.
It will, but the confidence will start coming back, the support will come, everything gets lifted. All you need to do is win one game.
Yeah, one win.
But you need it early. There's no point in getting that one morale boosting game on your last day of the championship when you're already gone. That's just frustrating, that's what that is. But no, for me, fingers crossed, I think Cork will win the game comfortably, but for the championship I'd love Waterford to win.
Okay, I'm going for Waterford to win that game, and I'm going for Clare to win it, so we're differing on those two matches. For myself, I think I'll go Limerick and Clare, definitely top two. I'll go with Clare to actually finish top, and then I'll go with Cork.
Yeah, pretty similar on that. Just over Tip.
Just over Waterford and Tip. I think that'll be tight. I think it'll be like last year, where you're looking at a very, very tight last round of games, where you kind of don't know what's going to happen. That's just my own opinion. Just on these games, actually, Eddie, it's going to be something that I guarantee you we're going to chat about heavily in the weeks to come. I don't know the exact games. A lot of them, again, are on GAA Go this year, which is obviously a subscription-based platform. People were very, 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 very unhappy with it last year. What do you make of the matter that maybe they're using one of the GAA's better competitions to get people to buy this?
See, this is something, and I think I'll actually have the answers for you next week and I'll look into it. But I don't think, what people seem to forget is that we didn't have access to all these games in the past. So you take next Sunday, you would have had on terrestrial television, say, a double header. So back in the day, so you would have had Limerick against Clare and maybe an Ulster football match. Just say for argument's sake. And that was the double header on the Sunday game. You sit down, you got one and the other. But since they've introduced GAA Go, you still get the two of them, but now you have access to loads of other games instead of just getting highlights. So obviously when you get something like that, it's going to come at a cost. So I'm sympathetic towards the association and RTE and everybody else putting it together. I am a little bit sympathetic to them, because it brings us an opportunity to see all these games if we're not able to travel to them. And that's my honest opinion on it. And I just think people have to be realistic too. There's small budgets involved here. I mean, you want to see the figures attached to the GAA Go games and stuff. They're not making, like, people make it out like they're making gazillions off these matches. They're not. I would actually say they're barely covering costs. And that's, I'd love to see, we'll get to see them in a couple of years when the Public Accounts Committee go in and rip them apart at a hearing in the Oireachtas. We'll see their figures then. But I'd like to see the turnover figures for GAA Go. I'd be surprised if they're not just covering costs.
It's Waterford Cork this weekend, I think, because Limerick and Clare is on RTE2.
Limerick and Clare is on RTE2. So what I'm saying to you is, before GAA Go, the Waterford Cork game just wouldn't have been on.
But the argument you could make is, before GAA Go, all Munster Championship games would be on terrestrial television because there were less of them, and the GAA have decided to go with more games, which is fine, but then you have to give access for free-to-view platforms.
See, the round robin series has changed. That's a different kind of an argument, but I definitely remember back in the day the Leinster hurling final, the Leinster football final would be on the same day as the Munster hurling final. And vice versa. You're probably too young to remember this, are you?
No, I remember it, yeah.
So you come out of Croke Park, the Leinster hurling football final might be on at 2 o'clock, and then the Munster hurling final would be on at 4 o'clock, so you could leave Croke Park after the Leinster hurling football final and go in and watch the Munster hurling final, and vice versa if the Munster final was on earlier in the day. So I don't think RTE ever covered more than two games in any day. So to me, I still think the fact that we get to now have an opportunity to see every single match in the Championship, and that's what we do get, I think that should be applauded.
But I suppose the argument, what I'm trying to state is that in Munster, in times gone by, you would always have one quarter final, two semi finals, and a final. That was the structure of the Championship, and every single game would be on television. Obviously, there were far less games.
Yeah, but what they're doing now is to pick the main games and put them on television. Like, if you're a Limerick hurling fan, Limerick have to play 1, 2, 3, 4, and then a Munster final is 5. Limerick have to play 5 games if they win Munster. So RTE aren't going to show all 5 of them Limerick matches now. But as a Limerick supporter, you have the opportunity to see all 5 of them because GAA Go is there as a platform to use, even if it's not the feature game from that weekend. So I just think there's a balance that needs to be struck. But
I agree, but it's, look, we'll get into it more.
It's frustrating for people as well. Yeah. But I'll tell you what I want. The day that there's a massive game on and it's on GAA Go instead of RTE, give me a shout, let me know. Because if you think that the biggest game in Munster this weekend, what game is it? The biggest game in Munster this weekend.
Biggest or most important?
The biggest game.
Is Clare and Limerick.
Yeah, so that's going to be on television.
But I think the most important one's on GAA Go.
Yeah, well, there'd be absolute consternation if the All-Ireland Champions playing the League Champions wasn't on live TV.
I agree, but I think you're going to...
Now, Kilkenny are playing Antrim at the weekend and Galway are playing Carlow. So some Carlow supporters that decide not to travel the whole way to Salt Hill have an opportunity to see that Carlow game live now.
Yeah, no, and this is going to be the next protocol, I suppose, that we're going to get onto. But some games aren't as interesting as others, and I don't think anybody probably has as much of a problem with those games being behind the paywall.
I don't know. I think it's about striking a fair balance. I think, provided the charges for these are only covering costs, I'd have no issue with that. If there's massive profit being met on these games, I'd be stunned because I know how much it costs to put these things together. And number one, I would be stunned. And number two is I'd be disgusted if the GAA was trying to make a fortune off the back of these. I don't think they are. I think they're trying to bring the games to everybody's houses.
Okay, that's fair. Luckily, as I said, it'll be something that we'll definitely be going into as the weeks go on. But we are building up to the start of the Championship this weekend. So obviously we've looked at Leinster, we've looked at Munster, we've picked our teams that are going to come out of both. You've already alluded to this on more than one occasion, but I will just ask to get clarification. The All-Ireland winners this year, Eddie, or maybe even the path to the All-Ireland, I suppose. Who's going to be in the semi-finals and the final, maybe?
I think the 4 semi-finalists will be met up, the same 4 semi-finalists we've had for the last few years. I think it'll be Galway, Kilkenny, Limerick and Clare.
It's a bit disappointing, wasn't it?
Who else is their best place to come in from the pack, either Cork or Tip?
Yeah.
Realistically.
Yeah.
So I think it could be back to the same 4 again. I think I'd love for Kilkenny to be playing Limerick in a semi-final and Galway to be playing Clare. I think Galway have the measure of Clare, and I think Kilkenny will get the measure of Limerick in the semi-final, and I think it'll be a Galway-Kilkenny All-Ireland final. One for the ages. I may go down and do this in the betting office as well, because I said this would be a serious payout. But I still think Kilkenny are going to win the All-Ireland. I'm probably the only person other than the Kilkenny camp and Derek Lynn that think Kilkenny are going to win the All-Ireland, but I really do.
Deadly. I hope you're right.
And you are?
I don't think you will be. I think Limerick will win it. I think Limerick will face Galway in an All. Actually, you know what? I think Limerick will face Cork in an All-Ireland semi-final. I think Cork will beat Galway in an All-Ireland quarter-final after Kilkenny beat Galway in a Leinster final again. I think Kilkenny will beat Clare, as it was. Clare will beat Wexford, I think, or Dublin or Wexford, whoever the hell I picked, in an All-Ireland quarter-final. It'll be Kilkenny and Clare All-Ireland semi-final. Kilkenny will win again, but on the other side I think Cork will beat Galway in a quarter-final, and
it'll be Limerick and Kilkenny in the final.
Limerick and Cork in the semi, Limerick and Kilkenny in the final, Limerick to win it.
Okay, well, fair enough. I won't disagree with you there.
Yeah.
Even if you are wrong.
Well, we won't know until it all goes down, obviously.
Cork will come out once through. We'll have some crack then.
We will, yeah. It'll be serious trouble.
Down.
Yeah, you got to put your neck on the line sometimes. Okay, that's the championship preview. It all kicks off this weekend, and of course we'll have all Kilkenny and Carlow games live on KCLR if you can't get to them. So Eddie, you wanted to bring up something that sort of kind of is adjacent, I suppose, to our GAA Go conversation, the football this weekend.
Yeah,
go on. It was shocking, basically.
Well, it's not that. I tell you what it is. It wasn't that the football was shocking, to be fair. And this is something that needs to be thought about.
Okay.
And I would ask people as well that listen to this podcast, because there's lots of people listen to the podcast, and I mean this as well. There's lots of ways that you can get in contact with us as well. Like, you can, you know, it's all shared on the platforms on scoreline.ie. Yeah. It's on KCLR's Facebook page. I share it on my own Facebook page. Robbie normally has it knocked around there somewhere, but you can contact myself and Robbie anytime. Put
100%.
It in on it, and I'd love people's opinions on these things too. So, you know, by all means, send us a WhatsApp, do whatever you want to get the message into us. But I watched the football games the weekend. Now, first of all, I was fuming last weekend when Westmeath got knocked out of the championship, because I felt there was too quick of a turnaround from Westmeath winning a league title to being forced to play in the first round of a Leinster championship. The other point that was pointed out to me by Willie Quinlan, and it was so right, Westmeath won a league championship in Croke Park on a pitch that was like a carpet, and then had to go to O'More Park and play Wicklow the following week and got beaten. Now, Wicklow followed that up. They backed up that result against Westmeath. They were only beaten by a point yesterday. So this is the shot in the arm.
Should have won that game.
Should have won the game. But that's the shot in the arm the championship needs. Wexford went down and beat Carlow comprehensively, but they backed it up. They put it up to Louth. And they showed that these aren't a bad team. Like, John Hegarty was devastated after the match yesterday. He genuinely was gutted. And that wasn't Wexford 2 years ago. They'd have been delighted to run Louth so close. That's a fact. But then you had Dublin roll into town and absolutely obliterate Meath. Right? Now, I watched that game here in the studio yesterday. Watched it from every minute of it. I seen Colm O'Rourke's interview after the game. Body language and everything told me he was consigned to defeat before that match ever started. He'd just given up on it. Right? So then I flick on the Sunday game last night and I said, let's listen to what these superstar experts have to say. And Sean Canavan came out yesterday and said that he thinks that Dublin should be made playing a different championship. Take them out of Leinster and maybe put them in Ulster. Now, Sean Canavan's from Tyrone. And Tyrone got beaten 5-18 to 12 points by Dublin 4 weeks ago. And he thinks in some solution is to take Dublin out of Leinster and put them into the Ulster Championship, where they did that to Tyrone. Like, these people seem to think that this Dublin juggernaut, you know, the problem is that Dublin are so strong and Leinster is so crap. But I tell you what's after happening in Leinster, and this is the point. Sean, and he's a brilliant footballer and he's a very good pundit as well, and I'm not going to knock him, he's also a huge, huge man. But the point that he made last night, I thought that was rubbish. However, what has happened in Leinster is every other county in Leinster has given up. And that is a fact.
Yeah.
No team in Leinster thinks they can win the football championship anymore. And it's become a complete and utter waste of time, the Leinster football championship. It's an absolute joke shop. Because teams can't win it. And why can't they win it, Robbie? So what's the usual
spew? I think there's two things here. So first of all, I think the common approach that Dublin are too good and have big population, all that stuff, I do think there's an element to that. I don't think you can ignore that fact either. The population of Dublin has grown enormously in the last 30-40 years, and with that, Dublin have improved the football. I don't think both of those things are separate items, but I don't think it's the sole reason, or maybe it's not even the bulk of the reason. I think the other counties have regressed, especially Kildare and Meath, enormously.
Right.
Enormously. But what I would say is, because of the population of Dublin, I genuinely mean this, these things we say are cyclical. So they are cyclical. Dublin were never going to be on top forever in Ireland. But Dublin, for me, are well past their heyday. They look like, you know, that those days of kind of the domineering Dublin are behind them, I think. They can still win All-Irelands, don't get me wrong, like Kilkenny could after the four in a row, or like Limerick might be able to after they lose in All-Ireland. But, you know, I think they're not what they were, but they're not too far off it either. But they're still so comfortable in Leinster because of that. The cyclical thing in Leinster is completely gone. I think we could be looking at 13 in a row, like.
For Dublin?
Oh, yeah.
But this is the point I make to you, right? So the two arguments everybody comes back to are population and budget.
Yeah.
Dublin have this massive budget and this massive population, right? Now, the question I'd ask is, first of all, and I will say this to you, watching Dublin yesterday, it's a mix of how bad Meath are and how good Dublin are.
I
think
general,
this Dublin team could be tearing it over. But over the last number of years, who are the teams that have given Dublin the closest battles? Now, what I'm on about is running them to 3 or 4 points,
okay,
keeping it tight. Galway are capable of doing it, right? Galway beating, no, maybe haven't met them too many times, no, but Galway beating an All Ireland semi-final, got to an All Ireland final as well, I think, but they're not a million miles away.
22, yeah.
Kerry,
100%, yeah.
Derry beat them in the league final last week. 2 weeks ago.
Okay, but we haven't seen it in championship.
But it's coming. Mayo, every year.
In the past, did they play them last year in Dublin, like the Florida?
Yeah, but every other year, it's a one-point game, two-point game. It's trilogies, they're battles, right? So that's five teams that conceivably, and Roscommon are coming a little bit, they're not going to be at that level yet. But the point that I make to you is, right, Dublin's population is a billion miles ahead of everybody, right? But Kildare have a population of 250,000 people, which is the same as Derry's population, which is far above the population of Mayo, Kerry, Roscommon. It's miles ahead of them, right? Meath is 225,000 people. Again, miles ahead of all these other teams that we're talking about that can put it up to, like Tyrone, who've done it historically, put it up to the Dubs. You know, their population of Meath is way above them, right? Now, I read an article as well, and it's an unsubstantiated statement about to be made here now, but the budget spent on the Meath players 2 years ago was €25,000 players' expenses. Last year was €125,000. So the budget is changing as well. But the problem I have, and I believe this, I firmly believe this, all the other counties in Leinster have thrown in the towel. In football, they've thrown in the towel.
Do you think so? Because yeah. I'm just.
They don't intentionally do it.
The reason I say cyclical is because Kildare and Meath had their. You know, they've had great periods of success.
I would love to see the return
yeah.
on GAA players at the moment in these counties. I would love to see the return on GAA players in these counties. I would like somebody to go and have a look and see how many players are giving up playing Gaelic football in places like Westmeath and playing for the Buccaneers in rugby or going playing for Mullingar Town in rugby or doing other sports. Committing to soccer and maybe having a rattle at that because they feel it can be competitive. In Athlone, where I'm from, you've got Willow Park FC, Athlone Town FC, St. Peter's FC, all three massive soccer clubs, all growing. You've the Buccaneers rugby team, all growing. Meanwhile, you've got Gary Castle and Athlone. I see my club, Gary Castle, in a town with a massive population, amalgamating with another team to field a minor team. That's happening.
That is happening, yeah. No,
and that's, but what's happening is teams are giving up. The Leinster Championship is now, in football, has become a complete waste of time. Now, Sean Canavan, the statement Sean was making about taking Dublin out of the Leinster Championship and putting it somewhere else, what will that do? It'll mean Dublin will go and win a championship somewhere else, and it'll mean that all of these other teams in Leinster, one of them will win a championship, and what's the first thing everybody will say? It'd be like winning the Tailton Cup or the Joe Mac. Yeah, it's not the real, it's not the big trophy that you're meant to be going for. So what's the answer to it? The GEA need to take a long, hard look at themselves here, Robbie. Because they've caused this is a problem that's after been caused by the GAA. They've allowed this to happen. Like, people forget this. Dublin won in Ireland in 1995, right? The poster boy team, unbelievable. Charlie Redmond, J.O., like Desi Farrell, I think, might have been kicking then. Kieran Whelan. This Dublin team, they won an All Ireland football final, and that was the first All Ireland football final that Dublin had won in what felt like an eternity. The outpouring of emotion that time when Dublin won that game, they beat Tyrone. Unbelievable. But what people don't realise is the GAA had spent so much money promoting the game in Dublin to try and make it happen. They'd spent an absolute fortune promoting the game in Dublin to make Dublin a powerhouse. And they let it get out of control. And now what's happened is they forgot about all the other counties in Leinster. And I mean this. And what's happening now, slowly but surely, is counties aren't competing anymore. Because they don't have the players there to compete. In Kerry, players are committing playing for the clubs. In Derry, players are committing playing for the clubs. In Westmeath, are they committing? Are they committing that much that a town with two clubs in it can't field, have to amalgamate to field a minor team? Kerry Castle are intermediate at the moment, beating in the Club All-Ireland final less than 10 years ago, and we're after being relegated to intermediate. That's down to interest dwaning. They're falling away, Robbie. And the Leinster Championship is goosed. Dublin can win 300 in a row for all I care at this stage.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I said this to you last week on the podcast. It's embarrassing the fact that the Dublin footballers don't even give a shit about winning a Leinster Championship. Did you see Desi Farrell after the game yesterday? He basically said the Leinster Championship is a waste of time.
And he has been consistent with that, in fairness.
Yeah. But sure, what does that say about the competition, the team that's going to win it? Can you imagine the roars and abuse that John Coyle you get if you turn around and said the Munster Championship is a waste of time?
But this is my argument, Eddie, that the, like, it's just so uninspiring to watch. I mean, there's 21,000 in Croke Park yesterday for Dublin and Meath.
That was the match in Croke Park.
That is one of the biggest rivalries in GAA.
Why was the match in Croke Park? Why did Dublin?
I don't know why.
Why does that juggernaut get that? Why does Dublin get to play every single match at home? Like, and I'm not saying it's giving them an unfair advantage, if you know what I mean. But they play every match at home. I've heard people saying this to me before. It's not fair. I heard it said that the Dublin team arrived to get the same dressing room. All the people in Croke Park are all, well, Johnny, well, Mick,
yeah,
how are you going?
I know that, yeah.
I see a couple of really good statements that were made here over the weekend. This one here, it's actually sad to see what's happened to the Leinster Championship. You could see this happening a long, long time ago. A lot of people are responsible for the debacle. The first job of a sporting organisation is to take care of the competition. They've failed. Dublin and Meath used to be the pinnacle. We all grew up on it. Now look at it. And an empty Croke Park in his picture. And then it's this other guy put up, trying to keep the provincial championship alive is the equivalent of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's time to merge the league and championship, with the league starting on April 8th, teams qualifying for the All-Ireland quarterfinals out of the league. I don't think that's the worst idea I've ever heard. And then former Tyrone star Sean Canavan believes that the Leinster Championship is a pitiful state and that moving Dublin out of it is the only thing that might salvage it. Comment was responded to straight away with saying, yeah, that'll solve it. Let me just check how Tyrone got on against Dublin there 2 weeks ago. And it is, I think, is a fair point. But then the other point that he did say was about Wicklow, their narrow loss to Kildare. You know, I'd agree with him on that. They'll be devastated if they only lost by a point. But it gives a shot in the arm to a championship. But ultimately, I remember watching it before, you're winning games and you're thinking, if we win today, we're going to be the team that Dublin get to absolutely murder next week. And it's just unfortunate, but the GAA needs to solve it, or I'm telling you now, hurling slipped out of the top 10. Football will be following it if it doesn't get careful. I think football's number one at the moment. I'd say soccer's probably number one now.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
But I can tell you, they're on a slippery slope. And when you see teams like Kildare and like Meath, for me, checking out. Like,
is there anything, because I always like to think that if somebody is a standard bearer, it's up to you to raise yourself to that standard and not for that standard bearer to be dragged down to your level. Is there anything that those counties can do that would reduce the gap? Or
yeah, but it's going to be investment in the underage structures in them counties and start working towards them. I'm not on about budgets or anything else like that, but it's just down to the nurseries, all of that stuff, bringing it in and the whole lot. But unfortunately, all them kids need role models to look up to, and they need their teams to be competitive. And they're just not competitive. It's a sorry state of affairs. There's no quick fix now, Robbie.
This is years and years.
This is watching Dublin winning another 10 or 11 Leinster titles before it's going to be sorted. But someone needs to come in, you know, and I mean this as well. I can't remember, was it Sean Kelly or whoever was the main man at the time when all of the Dublin focus came in. And that did happen. That was a genuine GAA narrative that they couldn't afford to lose Dublin. If they lost Dublin, there was half the population would stop playing the national games. So they pushed it in. And the reason that Dublin aren't competitive like this in hurling is because the football team is so successful, every kid in Dublin wants to play football. And that's how it works, Robbie. You make the kids want to play it. How do you fix it? There's no short-term solution to it, but if the GAA don't have crisis talks about this, Jim Gavin and these fellas can have all the meetings in the world they want about standards of football and the whole lot, but we're about to lose a provincial championship. We're about to lose a full province of teams. And to me, that'd be the just the end of the Gaelic football in this country. Imagine the full province just checking out, no one playing anymore. And I think we're heading that way at the moment. Westmeath, Kildare, Meath. It's just a sorry state of affairs.
No, it is. It's a very sombre note to end on, if we're going to end on that. Do you want to say anything else? Any pick-me-ups for the week ahead?
But you know, look, come here. I tell you what, be a pick me up is the hurling championship starting next week.
Yeah,
for down here, it'll be great. It's something exciting to do. The other thing as well, I can't let go without having a smack at a referee as well.
Right.
Bulger's goal yesterday for Dublin. Did you see his goal yesterday? Bugler. This is the first goal yesterday for Dublin. Did you see that yesterday?
I actually didn't.
Sean Bugler scored a goal, right? And I'm telling you, I seen some memes yesterday, and it was pictures of him running down the M50, pictures of him running by. I seen one lad putting up on the post that he ran by the front door of my house before he pulled on that. But he genuinely caught a hand pass and took 15 steps without playing the ball and rifled it in top corner. And Marty Morrissey on commentary went, "What a goal! What a skill!" And I was like, "Are you having a laugh?"
He's some man to just completely try and pull the wall over.
Just ignore what you just seen there. Like, it was outrageous. And then they showed the replay. But in fairness, at half time, the lads in the studio went to town on the officials for it. And you couldn't justify it. Like, I mean this. He took 15 steps. And it was a great finish, but...
Ah, sure, yeah.
But on that note, I think... If you're playing hurling or football, you carry that ball and that referee blows that whistle because it doesn't seem like they're pulling for steps anymore.
Okay, fair enough. I do have to end with an apology, which is in somewhat in jest, because last week I stated that Eddie Doyle, our wonderful co-commentator on KCLR, I did say that he gave Marty Murphy the man of the match in the Laois versus Kilkenny under 20 game, despite the fact he actually gave it to Garrod Dunn, who scored 4-2. And we did question why he didn't give it to Garrod Dunn, but apparently he did. I will say, in my defence, I was covering a Carlow game at that point.
Ah, here,
under 20s
so
route.
Don't let facts
I was
get in the way of the story.
With false information. And like any good journalist, I decided not to look into the information.
So did you present the prize to the wrong people?
It is my fault. No, I believe, it all worked out well.
Inquiry. This is all going to have to...
I believe it all worked out well. Eddie won't be back on
under 20 gate.
Yeah, under 20.
This is phenomenal.
Eddie,
so.
There's nothing wrong with me making a mistake. Big problem with you correcting that mistake. No, I'm joking, in fairness. So look, a humble apology to Eddie Doyle from myself. I got that completely wrong. And it won't be the last time that I do so. But congratulations to Garrod Dunn for winning man of the match in that one. We'll wrap it at that on quite a jovial note. Eddie, thanks for joining me. Looking forward to the championship. It begins this weekend, 2:30, Kilkenny versus Antrim, live on KCLR. We'll also have full commentary of Galway versus Carlow from 2:00. We'll be back next Monday to review all the opening round action. Until then, have a very safe week and do enjoy it.
The Kilkenny Hurling Podcast with Eddie Scally and Robbie Dowling. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.